Hey guys, welcome to Crossroad Off-Road Podcast. My name is Mitch, and we are brought to you here by Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota, and by Motors and More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Hey guys, thanks for checking in here to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast. A quick note, I missed out on getting a podcast out last week, an episode, because, well, I was busy and everybody's on vacation. Then I went on a little mini vacation. So things just happened in my world where I could not get anything out. And this week was pretty tough, too. A lot of people are just out on vacation, but there is some off-roading to be done that's out there. I haven't done any updates on my Jeep. I do have a few things in the works, but I am just kind of holding them pretty close because I have a hopefully a bigger project coming up here in the next couple months with that. But I do have some fun parts that I picked up and they're at home already, ready to put it, to be put in. A couple things I've been doing recently. Actually, it was a fun day. I jumped in the Jeep with my wife and my son, and we rode out to the Minnetonka Drive-In and had ourselves a root beer float. So it was a fun drive, a nice and warm out. Saw a lot of other Jeeps out today, a lot of other cool cars. I think went out yesterday. We did some more of the same stuff. I think we had some little Dairy Queen run. That's only after we got a good workout in. But so it's a nice weather for that, especially if it's 90 degrees to go on a nice long drive and use some sunblock, obviously. And had a nice little time out there. Some really cool things I saw on the road. I did see some Gladiators with the top down doors off. It's nice to see some guys who are just picking up their maybe a Jeep for the first time and getting those doors off and the top down and enjoying the weather where it is. So I also live in a pretty cool neighborhood where there's a lot of twisty roads. And so we get our fair share of sport bikes. And lately I've been seeing a lot of Dodge Vipers for some reason. I saw the same black, white, and red one that was pretty sharp looking, and then I saw a white or blue with white stripes on it. I hadn't seen a Dodge Viper for months, and then this weekend I saw two of them in a row. So, kind of a car spotter. I like to see cool cars like that. Plenty of Porsches around all these twisty roads too, but it's just kind of cool to see. So, if you see some cool whips out there, put them on your Facebook or Instagram posts, and you can somehow tag me. I'd love to see what other people are seeing out there. Obviously, love seeing the Jeeps, lifted big tires Jeeps. It's always fun to see, but the sport cars are also pretty cool. So, this week's episode, I have another family member in who kind of got me into Jeeps. You can hear all from my brother-in-law Doug. So here he is. Hey, another quick note before we get to my brother-in-law Doug. Big news, truck news happened last week. If you guys haven't heard, obviously you know about the big dog in town. The new F-150 was revealed, and I invite you to go online and take a peek at that. They got some new features that are obviously going to be, it could be really cool or it could be just nothing, but there's some cool new features. Check those out. I mean, there's tons of, work out on that already, so I'm not going to dive too deep into it. You might even watch the thing online, but the new F-150 comes out soon. It's a 2021 model, and they are actually going to have a electric version coming out in 2021. Not sure how I feel about electric versions. Basically probably going to have one sooner or later, but just getting it, charged back up is going to be a problem. So they have tons of torque. But on that note, there's two other things you probably never even heard of, vehicles coming out. One I didn't hear about till that day was called the Lordstown. Lordstown, Lordstown. It's a new vehicle, a new company altogether. It was named something else. They bought a GM factory and in Lordstown, Michigan, I think it is. And they are building a new pickup. They're probably gonna be the first one to market. They're probably gonna even it's an electric pickup, and they're probably gonna even beat the Tesla that's out there. So check out that. You can Google it, find out more, read about yourself. But I didn't even know that was an option until I was listening to a couple things that I listened to, and they mentioned it, and I thought, well, I never even heard about this one. So that's a new one that's out there. Then another one is a. It's called from Nikola Motors. It's not Nikola Tesla. It's Nikola. It's kind of a you could say a parallel company, but they're a different company. And they are very aggressive, trying to build a new semi to come to market that's got a little hydrogen power to it, but they also have electric, all electric pickup. I think they might have a hydrogen option also. But check that one out. It's Badger from Nikola Motors. So if you're looking for some extra reading, or you listen to this and you're, at your desk or you're at home and you just want to kind of research some stuff, there's a couple different vehicles that are coming out. Like I said, the Lordstown, the Badger, obviously the F-150 is coming out. Then on the same day, this all happened last Thursday. It was a very busy news day for trucks. There's also a teaser for the new Ram TRX, which is supposedly the Raptor fighter. So the TRX was a few years ago, they kind of came out with the TRX concept, and they said it was going to have the Hellcat motor in it. Obviously, we don't know the full detail. Obviously, I don't. But look for the next few months for more information coming out on that one. If it's going to have 500, 600, 700 horsepower, we don't know. My guess is in the 5.5, 575 sounds about right. Then, if that comes out, kind of the horsepower wars that are in, the F-150 is probably going to have to come out with something a little bit bigger in terms of the Raptor. The anywhere from, if the V6 is going to get them there, or if they're going to kind of punch out the V8 a little bit, who knows? But we know that that same V6 can in the GT was pushing out 550-ish horsepower, I think. So we'll see if they kind of use that motor again to kind of go with it. To me, I don't go with the new vehicles all that often. The brands make new ones. I'm kind of more in the used market, something I'm actually going to use. But someday these vehicles will be used, and there will be something we'll be taking off road maybe, and so. That's why I kind of look at them right now. I was like, well, maybe 10 years down the road, we might see some of these vehicles actually get dirty. Obviously, all these are, $50 to $80,000, $90,000. So I'm not saying you guys are going to be brave enough to take those off the road, off road right out of the gates, especially if they're electric and don't know if we can charge it up in the middle of the woods. So I'm interested to see these things. You guys can make your own opinion on these. I'm not going to, share too much more because that's all I know about them. They're just pretty much all brand new vehicles. And I usually, like I said, don't review brand new stuff on this podcast, but I thought I'd just mention it. If you're just looking for some more reading material, there's some cool things out there. I'm interested to, especially on the Badger. That one kind of has my eye a little bit to kind of see what that can do. On that same Badger, the Nikola, actually, they're making three lines, actually four lines of vehicles. They're making a semi, like I mentioned. They're making the Badger pickup. And they're also making a side-by-side, kind of a sport machine, and they also have a jet ski. Okay, now these are all just pre-production models, so unless until they have a dealership and they're actually pushing them out there, we don't know what they're actually going to be able to do. But take a peek at that one. One of the podcasts that I listen to is called the Truck Show Podcast, and they had the owner on there. His name was Trevor. They had him on a couple times talking about the vehicles. It was pretty interesting. The guy has some pretty big goals, and with change, innovation comes change, and change brings more innovation. So we'll see how these things take off. But check them out. Again, the Lordstown pickup, Badger pickup, and then obviously they have the other sides from Nikola, the semi, the Badger, the side-by-side, the jet ski. All have electric power. Some have hydrogen assist with that. F-150 and the Ram TRX. All right. I just want to get that in there too because, sometimes there's some new stuff we want to talk about too. Give it a look. Talk to you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast. I am here with a very special guest. He's my brother-in-law, and he's the guy that kind of was partially involved in helping me get a Jeep. He was the first one in our family. I think back in 07, he picked up a Jeep. And so welcome to the podcast, Doug.
Yeah, good morning, Mitch.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you, why you got into Jeeps and kind of how that started for you.
Well, a number of years ago, I was coaching soccer, and one of the guys that was coaching with me, we were at a tournament, and between games, he goes, "Why don't we go grab a bite to eat?" And he goes, "We'll take my Jeep." And we go jump in his Jeep, and of course, he has no doors, he has a top off, and we jump in that thing, and we're about a quarter mile down the road, and I'm thinking, "Wow, I got to have myself one of these."
Did take long for you to change to pick what one, huh?
Yeah, no, that was it was immediate, that was late summer, and the next spring I went and found myself one. Kind of got lucky. Did a little research on ones that were available out there, and found a guy that needed to dump one, and he worked for a car dealer, and so he took extremely good care of it. And I went and saw him, and we decided to take it right away before someone else snatched that up. So we've been very happy with it and done some upgrades with it, put in a bed liner and some new tires and done some of that because it was just very standard. And we've added a few upgrades there and we really enjoy it.
Well, you're being a little shy about how mint your Jeep is. I think it's the best year Jeep that ever was produced because for some reason, I also have an 01. My buddy Brent has an 01. And then my brother Mike also has an 01. So there's four people in our little circle of friends that all have an 01 Jeep. And Doug's Jeep, if you guys don't know about TJ's, the rusty fenders is a problem. He's the only guy I know that does not have rusty fenders.
There's no rust on it, and we're pretty happy with it. It only has 70,000 miles on it. We bought it back in 07 with about 44,000 on it, and these Jeeps can hold their value pretty well, we're pretty happy with what we have. People have asked me if it's for sale. I said, when anything's for sale, you're just not going to like the price.
Well, yeah, that's a thing. I won't sell that thing anytime soon. That's definitely a good machine. It's more of a summer Jeep. I know you only really drive it in the summertime, but you have done some upgrades also too, and you have taken it off road. I think that we're going to talk about how surprised I was when you first took it off road. That you were ready to go hit some hills. I was pretty excited about that. But now I know you did some upgrades to it. I think you have a little bit of a lift in there. Am I right?
Yep. Just a small lift and a little bit of an extender on the tires to get them pushed out a little bit. We've done that. The one thing that I really like is that it took out the carpet and did the spray in liner. That's not a real cheap upgrade, but that's something that I really enjoyed having and not having to worry about the carpet.
And you did that yourself there?
No, I brought it to, I forget where the place was. That was quite a while ago. It was on the northeast side of the metro somewhere over there. I brought it to a guy, and he goes, if you're not in a hurry, I can do it on my slow times. I got a little bit better of a deal that way. So drove it over there in late fall when it was nice and chilly and got a little bit of a deal on it.
Now, you're not afraid to go top-down doors off. And I know that you've... almost every time we've been out, I barely ever seen your doors. They might be even a different color blue by now. But when you go out hopping around town, you're pretty much a top-down, doors-off type of guy. And you go pretty far, too. You kind of bundle up a little bit. But is that kind of what you really like about the Jeep also?
It is. And fortunately, your sister, my wife, enjoys that as well. So there's been times where I said, geez, should we throw the doors on, Melissa? And she goes, no, we're good. Let's just leave the doors off. So... been pretty fortunate that she's been all in on that kind of thing. We've kind of been, and this is one from my buddy that got me involved in Jeeps, and he kind of encouraged me right away that, we're not never putting doors on. he was the one that kind of influenced me to have the doors off, because that's what's nice. And even when it gets pretty chilly, we put more layers on instead of putting the doors on.
Yeah, I think you get extra special looks when you if it's a little cold. But I remember picking the boy, I told the story, I think, on the podcast before, but I picked the boys up from school in the spring and all the other little kids walking by like, Mason, what are you doing? And he's just jumping in the Jeep and there's no top, no doors. It's quite a spectacle. But when you have a few Jeeps in a row, I think you were telling me a story, but a few minutes ago, you have a few Jeeps in a row, you stop at a gas station, at a restaurant, and people just kind of walk up and start talking to you about it. Is that right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, this with the whole soccer influence on the Jeeps, there's been some other people that I've talked to that, years later, after I had mine for a while, found a guy had a Jeep and that was on my daughter's soccer team. I said, we should go out and do some of these little day trips that we, Melissa and I, do. And he was all in for that. And we mutually had another couple that were a friend of ours. And they said, man, can we go along? And first time they jumped in the back seat and went with us. We went over to Stillwater and did some things down there and really had a nice time. The next summer they had a Jeep. So we've done some trips, the three of us, I think it was that first summer we're heading down south somewhere and we pull into a gas station and all three of us there was probably three different people while we were parked there came over and talked to us about our liked them, and hey, how much would one like that be, and just, you know, all that kind of thing. So it certainly is an attention getter. We've had that happen several times. Certainly you get a lot of looks. You can tell people are looking your way when you pull in like that, and come and chat with you.
Hey, just a quick note from our sponsors, Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. They are restocking some great vehicles right now. So they keep selling the ones we talk about every time on here. They're usually sold by the next week. So if you guys can go check those out online or give them a call, tell them what you're interested in, and they can find a vehicle for you. And if it is an off-roader and you want to get some work done on it, you can take it to Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota. You get a $500 credit for Motors & More Jeeps towards your off-roader. And if you just have an off-roader ready, you just want a little bit of work done, obviously go hit up Zeus Off-Road. They're the guys that get that done for you. And if you tell them that you listen to the podcast, you can get a free hat or t-shirt if you get some work done. So again, thanks to Motors & More Jeeps and out of Brainerd, and Zeus Off-Road out of Burnsville. Thanks, guys.
All right, we're back and we're recording again. We had a little technical difficulties earlier on. I just couldn't get a strong signal, so now I have my brother-in-law Doug again. And we're going to kind of continue on from where we were. And one of the points we were talking about is kind of some things that I thought was kind of hilarious, where he got in the Jeep and for within a quarter mile, he knew that he wanted one. And I think that one time we went golfing, you and I, Mike, Joe, you know, golfing. I think it's the first time I got in your Jeep and we're riding. I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. And that was years had passed. I was in a position to buy anything, but I remember that golf trip and riding your Jeep. And then obviously my buddy Wade kind of talked about that before. He picked up a Jeep and I took around the block. I'm like, okay, I need one of these too. And it took about 5 months to get mine. And then I think we influenced Mike to not only buy one of them, but two.
Yep, exactly.
And then the other side of your family, you got a couple people who picked up some Jeeps too. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. My sister and brother-in-law and my side of the family bought one, and both of their kids now have Jeeps as well. So every time we come up north where they live, they make sure that I'm bringing our Jeep so that we can all go running about up in the lake country here as well. And then in addition to that, I've got a couple of buddies, one I mentioned earlier that picked one up. And then there was another one as well that said, oh, it's easy, you know, you're into this Jeep thing. And he started talking about it, and he said, well, I got to wait till my kids are out of high school, you know, then I'm going to look at it. And I said, well, you know, I had one when my kids were in school, and probably a month later, he comes by and shows me his new Jeep and said, some wise man let me know that it was okay to buy a Jeep with kids still in high school. So he bought a Rubicon and a pretty nice ride as well.
Is that the guy we went off-roading with that one time?
It is, yep, absolutely, the guy that went to Frontenac with us, yep.
Yeah, so I think I should probably mention this. I didn't put this one on your notes that I sent you, but do you remember the first time you and I went off-roading in that ski hill out in Wisconsin? I forget the name of it now.
Yeah.
Top of my head. I got there a little early, and I told the people who were taking our money at the Memorial Day run, I said, the guy's going to show up in a blue Jeep, and it's going to be really nice. Just tell him it's too nice to be on this trail. So what do you think about that little joke? That was pretty funny.
Yeah, well, you know, that kind of caught me off guard, because I you know, I don't go off road that often, and so that one did catch me off guard a little bit. I wasn't suspicious of you at the time setting me up for that, but yeah, she would just as straight faced as can be, and she goes, yeah, this is pretty nice for me taking out here. So yeah, got me a little worried there for a few minutes.
But then I think when you go back to when your buddy came over, I think I said the same thing to him. I go, oh, this is too nice to take out where we're going. And he said, don't listen to him, he's full of it.
Yeah,
he knew that joke was coming.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a fun time that time too. But when we went out to the first time, what impressed me, you know, we talked a little earlier about how Doug's Jeep is a little mint, but he's not afraid to hit it. And this first time I went out with you, I was really impressed, because I was like, okay, he's going to hit this hill. I think one time I got to the top and I was on a rocky part and I was like, I don't know. oh, if Doug's going to come up this, then all of a sudden he comes flying up right by me. So you weren't afraid to hit it. And it's what these things are built for. And so I was pretty impressed that day on you just getting after it. And so then the second time we went, I got into some trouble real fast out in front, Frontenac. And that's where I bent my tailpipe. And now I have the tailpipe delete kit going on. So I have no tailpipe going on right now. But you followed me right through the mud. You didn't care. It was great.
Yep. Yeah, I do. I get out on occasion, and I do enjoy being out there. I'm not quite as risky as some of your buddies out there, but I do enjoy getting, especially when I have some people out there that can help me get out of trouble if I get into it. Helps a little bit as well.
And then I remember you said the first time that you went out with my sister, you had a funny story about that. The first thing.
So my wife, your sister, couldn't go because she had just had a surgery. So your sister from Yuma actually rode with me when we went to the one in Wisconsin. And she came with her kind of dressed up and kind of a fancy hat. I don't think she quite understood what the off-road thing was all about. So she was kind of dressed up rather than ready for any off-roading. And so it started off very easy, and she was, this is pretty neat. We're kind of just driving through the woods, and we get to the bottom of that first hill. And I think you were the first one and went up that. And she goes, "We're going up that." And I said, "Yep." I said, "We're going up that. Hang on." She goes, "Oh, crap. Oh, crap. Oh, crap." So it's one of my funnier stories to tell that she had no idea what she was getting herself into. But by the end of the day, she really enjoyed it and had a great time out there with us.
Yeah, and then what was the other one? Oh, I actually have video. I think everybody knows about the little grab handles, the old crap grab handles that are in Jeeps. You could buy extra ones. And I actually have video the first time I went out to Chuck's Winter Run of me. It was just a small little hill. To be honest with you, it's not a big hill anymore. But it was real icy, and people had a hard time getting up it. And I video my wife grabbing that thing real tight. You can see her in the video. Grab it real tight because I just gunned it and got up this hill. But you can see her grab that little thing. And then it was those fabric ones that kind of flop around a little bit. And it was always in my way. So I got them for free from my buddy Wade, who went to a different route. He actually went to some hard mounts that were a little further forward. And so I got rid of those the first day that Beth got in there. And I put the hard mounts in. And she's like, "Where's that strap thingy you had here?" she's like reaching for it, slapping around. She's like, "Where'd that thing go?" And I'm like, "Well, I took it out and put these other ones in, So I think she got used to the new ones by now, because when we go out, she's always holding on to those. And today she was holding on to her hat. I don't know what it is, but some hats aren't made like other hats. And she was always, where it's not that windy, and she's holding on to her hat the whole time. She's, "How come your hat's staying on so much?" I'm like, "I don't care if I lose it, because I want a new one." she's worried about losing her hat all the time. So yeah, that's fun. But you also went up to Gilbert for the first time. I remember you telling me that you had to pull out some of your more built guys you were with, the more built Jeeps. Yours kind of was pulling those guys out. Is that right?
Yeah, so that was my first off-road, and that was with my buddy, my coaching buddy, that actually got me into Jeeping. He was one of them, and then his neighbor. So the three of us with our wives went up to Gilbert, and they weren't super experienced, but they have been off-road a few times, and I had never been off-road. And so they take me up to Gilbert, and they promise that they'll go on the easy ones, and we weren't up there too long on our first day, and pretty soon that they're off the easy trails and into some of the more moderate stuff. And it's getting kind of late. It was we got up there on a Friday, and so we decided we were gonna go out for a while, and it's starting to get a little late. And the guy said, "Well, if you're not out by this time, the gates might be locked, or we're gonna have you lock them up for us." And so we go on to this little more aggressive of a trail, and the guy in front get stuck, and I'm still okay. And I look back from my other buddy, and he's stuck. And I don't have too far to go, but they're both in there. And I said, "Well, what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to get off the trail here. I might have to take that little tree out. I'm going to have to probably run right over that guy, and then I can get in front of you, and I can help you. I'll pull you out of there." So here's the most novice, first timer out there. pulling the first guy out. We got him out of the way, and then the guy in the back, he had a winch, so we were able to use his winch to get him out. But the novice, the guy with the smallest Jeep out there, saved the day and got us out of there on time before they locked us in for the evening. So yeah, that's a pretty good story. And then when I get together with those guys, I remind them of that quite frequently.
Yeah, when you're the hero, you get to remind people a lot. I've been the hero too often. Usually I'm the guy getting teased. Wade really likes to lay down thick. But anytime I get stuck or what have you. But Wade got stuck one time. He had his Rubicon, all four wheels spinning, locked up on flat ground because he got hung up. And I had to pull him out on flat ground. And I took a video of it. Like, the only guy that gets stuck on flat ground is Wade.
well, when we went out to that Wisconsin trip too, you had another buddy. It wasn't Wade. It was somebody else. He got so deep. Trollhagen. Yes. Yeah, that's it. He got in there so deep. I'm going, you know what? He must have just gotten my Jeep because we're not getting that out. I think you're just going to leave that there and, you know, you might as well ride with me. And it's amazing what those winches can do. I mean, it pulled them out, and a couple of tree logs and everything else that came with it.
That was Brent. Yeah.
Brent, yeah, that was pretty fun. It was fun to watch. I was glad it was him and not me, but it was fun to watch.
Well, one thing, we're going to talk about upgrades, but we're going to talk about something that you had to take out of your Jeep to upgrade your Jeep. We're at Frontenac that one time, and it was one of those days where I hit that puddle, my tailpipe was bent, and we're looking at our Jeeps, and it all just kind of messed up. And I'm looking, I'm like, you know, I think I had my fun. I'm kind of thinking I got to spend $300 on a new exhaust. I'm like, let's go to town. You know, there's a car wash in town. We'll wash everything off.
Yep.
Then we'll put the, you know, disconnect the sway bars. We'll air up in town because it's not too far away. After we wash them up, we had this huge plan. We had lunch. You know, we're all talking, hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know, I'll lead the way. We'll just kind of coast into town 30 miles an hour, and then we'll air up and do all the stuff we need to do. And we had our radios, luckily. And I think I was driving. I drove about 10 feet, and all of a sudden, here, hold up, Mitch. My Jeep won't start. So, kind of walk us through that process. But luckily, I'm going to back up a little bit. Here's the great thing about having Jeep friends that you just met. It's like, a person in a Jeep is never a stranger, just a new friend you haven't met yet. Mm-hmm. And when I was stuck with my bending my tailpipe all over and going through this deep mud puddle that you guys coasted through, I think I just made it easier for you guys. But that was pretty deep mud hole I was in. But somebody got to talking to these guys, and they had a couple, I think they're both four-cylinder TJs. And we got to talking to these guys, just kind of, you know, talking it up a little bit, talking about what we're doing, because they're just waiting for us to get out of the way, because their Jeeps are a little more close than ours. And so then we got out of there, and then fast forward to having lunch, and hey, hold on, Mitch, I can't get my Jeep to start. But why wouldn't it start? Kind of tell us what your first thought was, why it wouldn't start, and what we actually figured out what it was.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, there's having a Jeep for 13 years, I guess you get a lot of kind of favorite stories, but this one probably tops the list. So yeah, like you said, we made our run and we're ready to get out of there. And there's a neutral safety switch that, this had actually happened to me a few years previous when I was replacing a center console where my Jeep just didn't start. And I did some research on it, and it kind of sounded like maybe it was a neutral safety switch. And I never end up replacing it. I just got mad one day, and I just started shifting my automatic transmission just real crazy, and I was just really upset. And it started. So I thought when we were out off-roading, I thought, well, same thing. I'm just going to shift this real crazy. This neutral safety switch is going to kick in, and we're going to be off and running. Well, as you know, we're out there, whatever, hour and a half, maybe trying to do some different things to get this going.
Yeah.
And it's not working. So now it's getting a little later in the afternoon now. And it's the fall. It was right around Halloween time. So, you know, it's not light, real late into the evening. So I think, well, what the heck are we going to do here? We're a long ways from home. And so, you know, a lot of people have been passing us by, and the hood was up and different things, but, you know, not much anyone else could do. Until our friends that we had met earlier stopped by and asked if we're having some problems. And I kind of described the issue to him. And at the time, I couldn't remember the neutral safety switch term. I think I couldn't remember what that part was called. But these guys, obviously, they were their rigs were made for just off-road only, and you know, that's what they do. That was their hobby, not a novice like myself. And they come over and say, hey, can you need a hand? You having some problems? And describe it to them. And the guy said, that sounds like it could be a neutral safety switch. so we're looking around. There's this blinking light, right? This blinking light going on. And people are asking me, well, what is that? And I said, well, I'm not real sure what that is. That's always been there. The only other time it's blinked is when I had the problem, a few years back. And so I kind of thought, someone had said maybe it's some kind of security system or something. And it was there when I bought the Jeep and I knew nothing about it. Anyway, that thing was blinking again, only the second time since I had that Jeep that was blinking. I'm like, well, it's blinking because it's having a problem with the neutral safety switch. And so it's blinking telling me that, but I just didn't know that. That's what I'm thinking. So anyway, we can't get this thing going. And then these two guys, they have two Jeeps out there, and these big rigs, they go, so where are you from? And, told them that, I live up in Elk River. And they said, well, we're from Foley. We got a trailer, usually three of us, a three Jeep trailer. Usually three of us come out, guy couldn't make it today. We could throw your Jeep on the trailer, we'll give you a ride home.
They had a huge three-place trailer, gooseneck or fifth, whatever you want to call it. It was a gooseneck, and this big diesel pickup. And they're like, jump on in, we'll haul you up there. And right. Basically right on the way home for you. So luckily we met these new friends and then they got you home. But the whole time, like, I'm driving and the Minnesota law just changes where you can't look at your phone at all while you're driving. I never did anyhow, but the whole time Doug is texting me and he gets more and more mad at me that I'm not replying. I'm driving home an hour and a half, whatever it is. I'm washing my vehicle for it. He's like, how much money should I give these guys for gas or diesel or whatever? How much money? And then the other, fine, I don't want to, whatever, I'll figure it out. I get all of these text messages from them. I finally get home. I'm like, well, I'm just listening to the radio, driving, not paying attention to my phone at all. And here he's getting madder and madder because I remember that, laughing so hard. I got back. I'm like, well, I hope he figured it out. Because I'm like, you were already home. I think he beat me home because I was washing my vehicle for an hour and a half at the car wash.
Yeah, so I think I had I probably had $20 on me or something. I think, I need to give him more than that. And I go, my other vehicle's home. I had some cash in my other vehicle, which normally I never would. I get home and my wife had taken that vehicle, so I couldn't get in there. So we have no cash in the house, anything like that. So my neighbor drives by and he sees this big rig in there with these Jeeps, and my Jeep is just muddy as can be. And he stops, what's going on, And I said, well, I'll explain later. How much cash do you have? So I borrowed some money from my neighbor, and they didn't expect anything. They really didn't. I mean, that's the Jeep community, just helping another person with a Jeep out. They didn't expect anything. But I insisted they took it and they went on their way. I didn't get their names. I don't recall what they are. Maybe they'll listen to this podcast and reach back to us, and we can reminisce about that a little bit.
Oh, there are some good boys from Foley, just some cool guys, and they couldn't have been nicer. I just remember talking to them on the trail a little bit and then afterwards, and they were just like willing to help us the whole time. It was pretty cool.
Probably a good thing you got stuck that they actually had met us already. Maybe they wouldn't have stopped if they wouldn't have had to run into us earlier. Who knows? But it worked out fantastic. In fact, a couple of people have said, did you buy some lottery tickets that day? You were kind of living the life there. So you should have went and got some tickets.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious because I just couldn't believe it. I mean, that's what it is. It's a good community and of guys and gals and stuff. So that's what I've always learned. And obviously, even like, you let someone get in your Jeep with you and they're going to buy one the next day because it's just a fun thing in the first place. But those guys are great. I still get a kick out of anybody we talk to the whole day, the whole place. I mean, you live way up in Elk River and these guys are down, we're down in Red Wing? Yeah, we're down in Red Wing. So it's a haul.
Yep.
And just happened to talk to the two right people. Got you back. That was so serendipitous. So it was pretty cool. So luckily we made some Jeep friends that day.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what? To continue on that a little bit, just to talk a little bit more about the community. We found a guy that I had crossed paths with a couple of times, but my wife, Melissa, reached out to people. Hey, you know, who do you know that could fix our Jeep? Come pick it up. And someone says, oh, you know, reach out to this guy. You met him at our wedding and this kind of thing. And we reached out to this guy and he goes, yeah, I can come. Doug, I can come pick it up. And he comes and he picks it up and brings it out to his home shop. And then he calls me. I'm working. Now, this is like, whatever, Monday or Tuesday in the next week. He calls me and said, what'd you say was the matter with it, Doug? And I go, well, I won't start. He goes, no, it starts right up. So him loading it and bringing it out there, I said, no, there's something. And then I don't remember what he did, but then he called me back. He said, yeah, Doug, it won't start, but there's a blinking light going on inside. And I go, yeah, do you know what that is? And he goes, well, it's some kind of security system. And I go, can you take that out of there? And he took it out, and it started and has run fine ever since.
It's so funny that the upgrade he didn't know about is what's causing all the problems. So obviously you didn't have the switch to shut it off. I don't know if it's because we're on the hill, we're parked weird, why it kicked on, but obviously it's gone now. So hope nobody who listens to this is stealing your Jeep. But end of the day, that was, you know, one of those things that just gets in the way. Especially if you didn't put it in. If you want the person to put it in, you don't have the switch to shut it off. I mean, obviously it's not worth it to have it there. So that was a fun time out there. And that was pretty slippery that day too, I remember. You almost slid into me on a hill, I think. Yep. You're like, Mitch, you better get moving. That was a very slippery, wet day. I think it was raining the entire time too. We were up there.
Yeah,
that was a good. Yeah, time. But you have some other things. Like you do some other. You go elsewhere, and that's just not off road. And I think one time I texted you last weekend. Even you said you guys were going out jeeping. Hey, I said, oh, my bar's open if you're coming down this way. You said where you were. It was the opposite side of the state altogether. So you guys tend to go up north too, right?
Yeah, we've been a lot of places with it. I've got family up in the New York Mills Perm area, and in fact, that's where I'm at right now. I'm up on a lake in outside of Perm, so we bring it up this way quite a bit. We have friends up that have a cabin up by Grand Rapids. We've been up there. We have some other friends that have a cabin around Mille Lacs, so we've been up that way. We've taken it up to Duluth and Grand Marais. We've been up to Walker. We've been down on trips down to Rochester and Winona and down that area. So we like to, take it out, whether it's just my wife and I on a day trip, or we will take it and do an overnight somewhere, whether it's a hotel in Rochester or Walker or Duluth, and do those kind of things. And we really enjoy it it's definitely our hobby. So.
And you also go to one of your favorite places. I think we've met you there before too, is in Stillwater. Popping over to Stillwater is always fun too. And how far is that for a drive for you? About an hour?
We take back roads there, so it takes longer than if you were just to drive it straight. By the way we go is definitely a little over an hour, depending on. But a lot of times, what we do too, and Melissa will just say, "Hey, let's just turn here." So we do some of that too, and just see. You know, we kind of know which direction we might be going, and just see kind of where we end up. So we do that on occasion. But we like the Stillwater area to get down there along the river take in a restaurant down there and we've even on occasion we'll throw a blanket in the back and find a tree and sit underneath a tree for a little while and just enjoy the weather and before we head back. So
usually take a nap, don't you?
to be honest I do take a little nap. Yep.
So a couple times, one of the reasons I actually called Doug last night and I said, hey, you got any stories about getting caught in the rain? Because this week, and this is kind of how this whole conversation started, And so we kind of deviated from that plan a lot. But this week was one of the weeks where I want to, you know, share a couple stories about getting caught in the rain too, because it's kind of fun. And this is what happened this week. It was Tuesday this week in the Twin Cities. I jump in a Jeep like I usually do. If it says 20% chance, you get 30, I'm like, ah, it's probably not going to rain. I just take off and I'll risk it. But it said like 20% chance. And I'm like driving. I look to the west as I'm driving to drop my kid off at a buddy's place to play some basketball. And I look over and I'm like, it's going to storm. And then I had a top down and the doors off. And I dropped him off. And then I took off and went and played some disc golf. And I got there and played a couple holes. I kind of, I met a guy who's just there, and kind of like he felt like he had a Jeep, to be honest with you, because he was very friendly and he was ready to play some disc golf. I'm like, yeah, well, let's follow this guy and we'll talk. And about the third hole, I'm like, I think it's going to rain. And I said, I got to take off because my kid's going to be stuck outside playing basketball. And sure enough, by the time I got the Jeep, got the top up real quick, you know, the Jeep isn't pristine, you know, it can get rained on, but I just don't feel like being wet, you know, too
yeah,
much.
Right, yeah.
And by the time I got to Mason, he's texting me, like, where are you, Dad? If it's raining, it's downpouring. He's just standing outside. And I jumped in, he comes running out, and he's laughing and stuff. And then the rest of the way home, he's like, this isn't really coming down. But the rest of the way home, we looked for puddles to hit. And he hit some puddles pretty hard. He's like laughing so hard. And I needed to, there's got to be a kit, I don't know if they make it, where they have windshield wipers on the inside of the windshield, because that's what I needed at that point, was because the outside was, we're doing just fine, but the inside of the windshield was full of water, and I couldn't see out. I had to wipe everything down when I got home.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
Siri wants to get involved in this conversation. so that was kind of one of the few times like I got rain. The other time was I was with Beth, my wife, and we were looking for a house in the neighborhood we actually moved into, and I knew the rain was coming, so I put the top up, and it was seriously downpouring. But we're sitting there talking to each other in the Jeep on the street, and we weren't getting that wet at all. And that's what's kind of cool about a Jeep, is you can get the soft top up and you're fine. And so that's a couple of times that have gotten caught in the rain and had a good time with it. But have you gotten caught in the rain before?
Oh boy. Yeah. So there's, we've been out in the rain quite a bit. The first time was, I was traveling, and my daughter was playing soccer, and I got home. It was just beautiful. I said, so I didn't look at the weather at all, but it was just beautiful. I said, let's jump in the Jeep and go to the soccer in your Jeep. And it was a out of town game. And so we drove a little bit, we get there and the clouds are just coming in, and I'm just going, oh my word. I mean, it looked really nasty. And then there was some lightning, so they canceled the soccer game. We got in the Jeep and it's raining now, and we take off and head back towards Elk River. As we're getting close, it was getting nastier and nastier. So there was a restaurant in the town of Nowland that we actually pulled over in and said, you know, we might just wait this out and see what happens. And so I called home, and it was hailing in Elk River. So we said, okay, we're just going to stay put. And unfortunately, we did get a little hail. And I still have a couple of dents just left there as a reminder, pretty small ones, but a little bit there that you gotta look for, but they're still there. So we, you know, that's one of the unfortunate ones, but you know, it worked out okay. But then there's one where one of the people that I talked into getting a Jeep, they had just gotten it, and they wanted to go on a trip with us. So I said, well, we're going to go in southern Minnesota. You know, we'll take off from our place, and then we'll stay overnight maybe in Rochester or someplace like that. There's nice runs where you go down to Winona, and you know, we've gone down to Cross and those kind of things. We'll do something like that. So we take off on a Friday morning. We had taken Friday off for vacation and are heading down. And I, you know, I told them, just, I said, oh, you know, make sure you have a cover so that we can cover them up at night. So he ordered a cover. And we get to just outside of Red Wing, and it's looking nasty. And we said, well, let's get to Red Wing and just kind of wait this thing out. And he pulls his cover off, and unfortunately, it was not a waterproof cover that he had purchased. And so we went into a restaurant and came out, and there was some water in the Jeep already that kind of seeped through his cover. It helped, but didn't do exactly what we intended to. So we decided, instead of continuing on, that we were just going to stay the night in Red Wing. And so we got there, and we figured, well, that cover's not going to work real great, but it's not raining now. Well, in the middle of the night, it poured. When you get a Jeep cover, we need to make sure that it's a waterproof one. Again, it's a Jeep, but his was a little upper end one, and it was used, not a brand new one, but still had the carpet in and things. So it was a bit of an effort to get it cleaned up, but we got that done and got some fans going on it the next day, and everything is fine. But just a little more effort than if you have the spray and liner or things like that to do. So. The first time I went out, the first cover I had was a tarp. So the very first Jeep trip I took, I brought a tarp and some tie downs, and that's what I used the first time. So we all learn.
Yeah, so we all learn too. And I think I just keep my soft top as a emergency top, really.
Yeah.
So it's not a pristine top. The windows are terrible in it. And but I'm like, it's all I really need it for if it rains out, because it's the top
right.
is down all summer long. So that's kind of how I treat my soft top, but I'll buy a new one sooner or later, really just for the windows. But in the end, it's good to have something like that with. And I was thinking about getting all the bikini tops down the road, but I don't know. I think that this will be just fine for me. But it's good to have that. When it starts to rain, I was like, well, let's get that top up. And that works just fine for what I need it for.
Yeah, and I've had both. I've had the bikini top and taken the full soft top off and put a tonneau cover on the back to cover up when I didn't use the back seat, and you can cover some things up. So I went that route for a while. And then when I think it was when maybe you and I went off-roading, I said, well, I'm going to put that soft top back on, and I've had it on ever since. And it is pretty nice. I've already been out in the rain a few times. This spring and summer as well, on some of the trips we've taken, it's turned into rain. And so it is nice just to be able to throw that up and have that protection.
Yeah, it's great. So the couple other things I wanted to discuss with you, what are some things you're going to do soon? Because I'm going to try to talk you into something pretty quick here. I think I've been sending you castles left and right that I find every now and again, because you have the three-speed auto with the 307 rear end, I think it is, on the Dana 35. And I've been trying to talk to you about some new axles with the 373, and they're all over the place, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think I just sent one to you last week that somebody was tearing down an LJ. I'm like, well, these are perfect for you. They're already re-geared, and they're ready for your 33s. Is that the next goal for you?
Well, that's what I would like, because I do hear comments about, yeah, nice looking Jeep, but you're a little short in the wheels there. So I do hear that. I do hear that once in a while. So that is kind of my next thought. If I could just bring it over and drop it off at your house and have you and your buddy do all the work, then I would definitely be all in for that. So there's, kind of debating whether I just put the tires on and see if I need to re-gear it or not. For what I do, would I be okay there? I know you and your buddy, you kind of enjoy doing those upgrades and that work. I'm probably a little less so there, so that's not fun for me. it's a matter of whether I'll do that re-gearing and pay someone to do that or talk you and your friend into doing that for me.
I think the re-gearing thing is something that's in my future, but I'm hiring that part out. I'm going to go to the zoo and have Chad do that. I was talking a little earlier in a podcast. I do have both my lockers now. They're in boxes in the garage. And I got some things with the gearing company coming up too. And Chad, I just got to kind of wait a little bit longer before I do all that fun stuff. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I think what might be easier for you is just getting a new set of axles and they'll bolt right in. That's kind of how it works. And they're a stronger axle. Going from the Dana 35 to 44 would be a better idea in the back. So we'll talk about that. And,
I think it'd be
pretty easy. And that seriously, I say it's an easy job to do that, but I have no clue. I've never done it. But that's the whole idea about Crossroad Off-Road is we'll get it right the third time. Cool. Well, Doug, you've been great. Ironically, I have another Zoom call with my family here. It's an important day in our family. So I have to cut this one short a little bit. I think we got to everything that I had on the list. But you've been a great guest, Doug. And I can't wait to see you again and do some more off-roading.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mitch.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, gang, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota, and by Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota.